The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
It's 8:50 and time now for our first look at the commodity markets today with our pre-opening report. Here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Thursday morning, everyone. This morning, USDA reported export sales for the week ending September 28th like this. Wheat, 14.4 million bushels, that's 13.9 this year and 1.5 next year. Corn, 45.6 million, 45.6 all of this year. And soybeans, 43.9 this year and 2.2 next year, for a total of 50.1 million metric tons in the last week. We'll discuss the implications of those numbers for the opening bell at the Chicago Board of Trade in just a few minutes with Alan Dearden of Ag Review out of Morton, Illinois. Squeezed processing margins amid somewhat tighter marketings this week are cited in the early calls for cash hog prices today at mostly steady, but there are mixed undertones on variable inventory positions held by plants, and reports at a few locations have reduced their slaughtering hours for the balance of the week. Terminals are called mixed, with tops from $44 to $49. Peoria called steady to 50 cents higher today with a top price of $44. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Wednesday, October 4th, voluntarily reported negotiated swine purchases were 16,322. For the base marking hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $59 to $68, the weighted average $63.98, a gain of 88 cents from Tuesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $45.23 to $54, and the weighted average was $51.52. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $17,404. The base price range was $56.50 to $72, the weighted average $66.78, a gain of $1.56 from Tuesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $45.50 to $54, and the weighted average was $52.42.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. Well, yesterday's cold front pushed through the area, brought some very strong winds, but not a lot of rainfall. And with several days of dry weather ahead of us, you can bet that harvest conditions will be good across Illinois, most of Indiana, although some southern sections still trying to dry out from heavy rains last week. And along the Ohio River, they did pick up a little bit more precipitation than most of the rest of the two-state area in the last 24 hours. The forecast models are showing another big change, and again, it's noted with caution that when the models flip-flop back and forth, you can't always rely on them. Obviously, you can't rely on them if they're changing day-to-day, but big changes are being advertised in the computer models for the coming week, and that would shift the Midwest and the Plain States from unseasonably warm conditions to colder-than-usual conditions, with a big surge of cold air looking to penetrate the U.S. during the early to middle portion of next week. And it possibly, again, it's hard really to get too excited about any one of the changes when they're so drastic day to day. But some models are indicating snow may develop across the uppermost portion of the Midwest, freezes eventually occurring across much of the Corn Belt. Again, that's in the latest computer model run for next week across the corn and soybean areas. Cold air is likely a little exaggerated in today's forecast. Model runs, the future model runs, will probably modify things, but the trend for next week definitely does show some cooling is moving in. The forecast also brings in a few interruptions to field work, mostly dry conditions through the weekend and into early next week. But by the middle of next week, some precipitation is expected to fall across the Midwest. Some areas already a little bit too wet, including parts of Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio. And the ground there a little too wet to have the aggressive field work continuing as they do across most of the corn and soybean belt. On the plains, hot, dry weather persists across the southern portion of the region. Emerging winter grains have been stressed by several days of highs in the 90s to triple digits. Meanwhile, above normal temperatures returning to the northern and central plains, where unfavorably dry conditions continue to stress pastures, reduce moisture for winter grains emergence and establishment. In the south, late season heat and dryness also promoting summer crop harvest there. Other field work also, although lingering long-term drought does remain a concern across most of the region. And looking at the latest drought monitor, there are most of the corn soybean belt in very good shape. You get into southwestern Illinois, it's abnormally dry. Across Missouri, it's in a moderate to southwestern Missouri, severe drought conditions. But Iowa, Illinois, most of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, all with plenty of moisture for the ground. The upper plains, the northern plains, they are still very, very dry, with the western sections of the Dakotas in a severe to extreme drought, and areas to the south of there dry all the way down into the Red River Valley, and even all the way to the Rio Grande Valley, with a good portion of East Texas and southern Oklahoma looking at extreme drought conditions. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3751. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In the Wednesday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 505 up 1, last trade up 7. March 515 down 1, last trade up 5.5. At the Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 464 down 1, last trade up 1. March 475.75 down 3.75, last trade up 0.5. May 475.75 down 3.25, last trade down 0.5. July 474.75 down 2.25, last trade down 1.25. December corn opened at 273 down 1.25, last trade down 1.25. March 286 down 1.25, last trade down 2.25. July 302.5 unchanged, last trade down 1.75. Red line December 311.75 down 1.5, last trade down 3.25. November beans opened at 556 up 3.25, last trade up 3.25. January 569 down 0.5, last trade up 1.25. March 580 down 1, last trade up 1.25. July 598 down 0.5, last trade down 0.5. October soybean meal opened at 164.90 down 10, last trade down 10. October soybean oil opened at 23.48 down 4, and last trade was up 7. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Morning, Dave.
I don't know where to begin with the corn or the soybeans. They both appear to be excellent export sales this week.
Let's start with the beans. Export bookings on the beans came in just shy of 44 million bushel. I just went back and made a perusal, and it's been January since we've seen numbers that strong. Looks like China continues to be the buyer on the beans, and they came in again this morning and did a little buying. We'll be up 3 to 4 cents probably on the beans today. Critical thing's going to be how well we can hold the market at the close. We sold off about 7 cents from the highs yesterday on the beans. We don't want to see that again today.
Do we need a move above 563 to confirm a change in trend?
I'd say 563, 564 would give you a close up over the September high, give you a change in trend, yep.
And the corn exports?
Corn exports came in just over 45.5 million bushel. It was quite a bit higher than what the trade was looking for, 40% higher than a week ago. Mexico was a big buyer today in the corn and the wheat, both on these export bookings. Will probably be a penny to 2.5 higher. We certainly had a strong close yesterday. We'll see some more continued buying there.
And December corn actually moved above its long-term uptrend line yesterday. Impressive.
We had a lot of things going for us technically yesterday in the corn. It was just kind of an amazing session with everything really backloaded in the last hour straight.
Meanwhile, we're looking for some wheat export sales to materialize. Did they this week?
Well, we didn't come in even at the middle of the trading ideas of on export bookings. Came in just shy of 14 million bushel. The low side was 13 million. The high side was over 18 million. So maybe a little disappointing there. We're coming in and seeing some sales to regular buyers in the Middle East. And I think primarily that's because the quality issues coming out of the Black Sea region and also France, poor quality wheat. So they're coming into the U.S. Yesterday's market was all about spreading. I think we will see this wheat market firmer, maybe on some spillover buying from the beans, but maybe a penny better.
15, 20 seconds for the Merc, please.
Livestock futures are going to be pretty mixed. Well, bear spreading's kind of the king. Real pressure coming here on the DEES, the Feb cattle. Hogs, the cash wants to stabilize, but I don't know if it's enough to do much upside with the futures.
Much appreciative, Ellen. Thank you much. Ellen Dearden of AgriView in Morton, Illinois. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILLAG.org.